Did I hear you're shopping for a car? Because I've been at it for ages. Ugh, such a time suck, right?
Not really. I bought it on Carvana. Super convenient.
Oh, then comes all the financing, research. Am I right?
Well, you can, but I got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then all the number crunching and terms, right?
Nope. I saw real numbers as I shopped, found my dream car, and got it in a couple of days.
Wait, like you already have it?
Yep.
Oh.
Go to Carvana.com to finance your car the convenient way.
Welcome to Put Pitt In, the world's only Pittsburgh Panthers football podcast. I'm Jason Kirk, as always, your biggest Pitt fan that you know. Joined tonight, as I am every week, by Ryan Nanny, the second biggest Pitt fan you know. Take that, Ryan.
I'm sorry to say that Ryan couldn't be here, but he asked me, thespian jazz aficionado, yes. Pittsburgh native. People don't necessarily know that, but yes, hail to Pitt, etc. Jeff Goldblum, hi, I'm very happy to join your podcast. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Pitt Jeff. That's Pitt Jeff, our buddy Pitt Jeff.
Delightful.
He's been in a lot of films, such as Jurassic Pitt.
Yes, a harrowing tale about what goes wrong when you try to revive a Palco, I believe, was the plot of that short. Yep. I don't remember. Yep. Some projects Jeff does purely for the chalet money.
It's about a Palcosaurus breaking loose in Morgantown. 13-9. Also joining us tonight on Put Pitt In, the world's only Pittsburgh Panthers podcast on the Shutdown Fullcast podcast network. Subscribe to our Reddit page, Shutdown Fullcast. That's a weird place for a Pitt Reddit page, but that's how it is. Alex Kirshner, an actual Pittsburgher, folks. Those of us who followed this podcast for a long time know that we yearn to glimpse the Holy Land of Pittsburgh. Ryan and I, we are wayfaring wanderers far from the homelands, but Alex Kirshner is joining us tonight, an actual Pittsburgh expert and native. Alex, thank you for sharing with us the sounds of our native land.
Ah, no problem. How you guys doing in that?
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
I, of course, recognize regional affect that our friend is doing here. I think it's wonderful. Alex, what would you say is the primary cultural export of Pittsburgh?
We were the first people to come up with putting French fries on sandwiches with meat on them.
Huh. Take that, Einstein.
Yeah.
And do you eat French fries also in the traditional fashion, or is it only as a sandwich accompaniment?
Well, down at Permane Bros and at, it is actually quite common to get French fries on the sandwich and then as well on the side where they are more commonly placed on the plate. So you kind of have the French fries that are like devoted French fries solo, and then you have the French fries also incorporated into the sandwich.
Sort of a smuggled potato situation, so that if, let's say, the local constabulary were to come by, demand seizure of your French fries, you could offer those on the plate while those in the sandwich remained absconded with.
Yeah, Bill Cowher taught this city it's all about debt.
Incredible. Man, listen, it's like the music. It's like angels are speaking from on high every time Alex drops the massive Yinzer accent all over our asses. It's incredible. Can't get enough of it.
You know, the other thing we can't get enough of, that's Pittsburgh Panther football. Love Panther football. Very excited about this upcoming season. Full schedule, all 12 games. Never before been done, I believe. Someone will correct me. Yes, we'll fix that in post. Yes. Jason, do you want to start us down the Primrose Panther path, if you will?
So what we're doing here for the Shutdown Fullcast, they hired us, Put Pitt In, the world's only Pittsburgh Panthers football podcast, to preview the ACC Coastal for them. Jeff, go ahead.
Where are we putting Pitt into? The Louvre? A film, perhaps. Or, do you want Pitt in one of my films?
Alex, it's more just a general concept that Pitt is in whatever it is that's sacred to you.
Would you put French fries in the Louvre, though?
They are
French, are they not? It's in the. I mean, I believe they have the right to be there by citizenship.
Yep, I think that's cultural. Yep.
Is Pitt a extremely French town? Would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
why do you think the Mona Lisa has her mouth closed? It's full of French fries.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Some people call Pittsburgh the Paris of Western Pennsylvania.
I've heard that.
Everywhere you go, and also Central Alabama, Birmingham Bowl champs 3 times in a row.
In its various BBVA compass formations, Pitt football really transcends sponsor, I think, is the important, unless that sponsor is Heinz, naturally. In which case, thank you for your field of ketchup. I assume that's what they play on, a field made of literal ketchup.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's like Mutant League football.
Splendid. So yes, we're going to put Pitt in. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic. I'm eager to learn more. But where?
So here the thing about put Pitt in. All right, it's been a rallying cry for this podcast for some time now, because we've long argued for the Pitt Panthers as the pivotal, the most important, the most crucial football program in the nation, because every win and every loss ultimately flows through Pitt, whether for good or for ill on the part of Pitt itself. Pitt, of course, is the team that is capable of losing to anyone or beating anyone, such as BCS number 2 West Virginia 13-9 in the year 2007. And it is that makes Pitt, you know, a team capable of beating, say, a Penn State 42-39. I have a T-shirt, 42-39. It's right next to my 13-9 T-shirt. It's that makes Pitt a team that always must be put into the conversation. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. So they are the universe's, how do you say the word? The fulcrum upon which fate itself rests, and with one push here or there upon the dense pyramid that is Pitt, we can tilt in favor of victory or loss. I love the poetry of it.
Correct. Alex, can you say fulcrum in Maximum Yinzer?
Fulcrum. Okay.
The fulcrum is full of French fries. Just
the fulcrum.
Oh, man. God. I just, my tummy filled with capicola at the sound of that.
So did Jerome Bettis.
Some kielbasa with that.
Jesus, listen to him go. It's like a symphony. So, all right. So running through, I think what we'll do is we'll quickly preview the ACC Coastal, which is the division that the Pitt Panthers have found themselves in to fight, despite mm-hmm. not being close to any coasts other than river coasts. We got lots of rivers, buddy.
Banks. Those are more banks. Yeah.
Okay. So we should be in the ACC Bankle.
I think it's more that Pitt is coasting, never accelerating, never braking, always sort of just letting nature take its gravitational pull, various theorems and acts of physics. Pitt is acted upon and through and beyond.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
They actually play at a point right near the intersection of three rivers.
Mm.
Is that why they call it Three Rivers?
That is why they called the old stadium Three Rivers. But Pitt, of course, played down at Pitt Stadium and that back when they had an on-campus stadium and that, and the students used to come out to the games and that. But now they don't.
Okay.
But now they are the official farm team of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers. Yeah. Yeah, Steelers drafted James Conner out of Pitt back in 2017.
All right, so
proving
so
walk the relationship
us,
is first.
Walk us through this. Conner? Did I say it?
Yep. I think that's just James Conner.
Conner?
I mean, not to be confused with Carr, which is Bill Carr.
Carr?
Bill Carr, the former coach of the local NFL team. Carr.
So the first time it sounded like Carr.
car. Yeah, car. Used in a sentence, it would be car par.
Oh, God.
Or in a sentence, okay. Fragment. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Alex, I want to. I'm loving the dialect work here. I'm wondering if you could give me the following sentence. The hour of Connor Power is now.
The hour of Connor Power is now.
Wonderful. Simply
majestic.
Wonderful.
Majestic. What a glorious tongue our people possess.
Let's start with Duke.
Okay.
Wow. Gosh, gosh.
Yeeps.
Gosh. No. David Cutcliffe. What to say? David Cutcliffe, legend in his the Marlon Brando of college football, I think it's fair to say, only in the sense that for many years we're like, "Oh, still alive, productive." Interesting. Born, of course, in 1954, your annual reminder that David Cutcliffe, far younger than you think he is in the entirety of his life, Duke has been to its 10 bowls. Do either of you know how many of those David Cutcliffe has been responsible for as patron, head coach, commander, leader, driver of the Duke Blue Devils?
I'll bid of those six. 10.
I was going to say 4. Mm.
Split the difference, gentlemen. Well done. It's 5. It's 5. So David Cutcliffe literally one half of all that is Duke football in his lifetime. What an accomplishment. What a wonderful thing to, what a legacy to leave behind. He is still alive, right?
And wearing an Incredibles costume.
Can we get Incredibles in Yinzer?
Incredibles.
Wow. There's a whole other syllable in it. And it's like backwards.
Let me try one more. Alex, could you just give me this sentence really quickly? I thought Wall-E was better than Toy Story, but not as good as The Incredibles.
I thought Wall-E was better than Toy Story, but not as good as The Incredibles.
How about Mike Krzyzewski?
Mike Krzyzewski.
Really, Emily? Too.
Oh God, we broke Pittsburgh.
It might be. I mean, there's probably a supermarket called Krzyzewski's or something like that. Is that Polish? I should know. If it's Polish, then it would be something that we could do regionally.
I think that's pretty Polish. I'm guessing.
Anyway,
so Duke. I mean, I feel like Duke already has enough going on at the time, given that they like run the fucking world right now because like they're Duke grads all over the goddamn White House. So
you
like,
think that, but then you look at the beginning of the schedule and you see Duke trying to take over our nation's armed forces. They play Army to open the season.
Oh,
Duke
Jesus.
Trying to take down the media. They go to Northwestern after that. Duke trying to tear organized religion apart from the very seams. They go to Baylor.
See, again, none of this is redundant to what I would like. Like, this is all exactly what I was saying.
Oh, it's all part of the plan. It's all Jason, thank you. I get it now. I get it.
So anyway, I mean, I feel like Duke's going to roll into the ACC schedule with like just, man, a massive overconfidence based on having taken over the world. But then it's basketball season. So Pitt beats him. Next.
That brings us to a really interesting program for me. I'm, of course, Jeff Goldblum. So we're going to talk about Georgia Tech, the Golden Wreck, I believe. That's the mascot, the term, the joie de vivre. Tech, of course, a big part of my career. If you have seen such films as The Fly or perhaps a Jurassic Park and Independence Day, these are all, of course, films about the the danger of tech. And I believe that tech is still dangerous, thanks to, of course, new defensive coordinator Nate Woody, most recently of I'm looking at my notes here. It's App State. App, of course, another term for a piece of tech. And so, therefore, I think it's fair to say that Georgia Tech will blow up the Capitol Records building, just as in, of course, my hit film, Independence Day.
Alex, could we real quick just get Appalachian?
Appalachian.
It's beautiful. So beautiful.
It's full of sloppy S's.
It's kind of a long-running point of contention in Pittsburgh is whether or not we are part of Appalachia, if you will.
What where do you fall in this cultural divide?
Well, it kind of depends on if you think, you know, Mount Washington, if that is part of the Appalachian Mountains or merely a standalone kind of little mountain, a little and rapidly gentrifying mountain, if you would consider that.
Gentrifying mountain?
It's odd, right? I mean, that's, but yes.
How can that happen?
It's happening.
Weren't white people already on it? It's a mountain.
It's, they've managed to gentrify even a mountain.
I assume in this case is, it's a mountain where government authorities recognize, and therefore is different from the mountains of West Virginia.
Yes, of course. It's not some backwater. We're civilized in Western right. Pennsylvania.
13-9.
Vastly culturally different than the far-off land of West Virginia.
Mostly because we can't figure out how to put French fries into a still. But we will, one day. Georgia Tech this year, yes. Interesting schedule, visiting the University of South Florida, and then, of course, coming to Pitt, their conference opener. Will be an exciting game all around, I'm sure. They face Clemson across the division. They face Louisville across the division. So I fear that while Tech is to be respected, revered, given a wide berth, I do think perhaps the Hackers have something in store for Georgia Tech this year, regrettably.
Also, Dr. Jeff, I think from your career, your roles,
sure.
I think we've
yes.
learned that bugs are to be respected, feared, and avoided. This seems to be the overwhelming lesson.
You're naturally referring to the Brundle Fly, but if you recall correctly, the Brundle Fly almost had sex.
But that did not happen with the bug that gave us Jurassic Park, because...
Well, no, although maybe. We don't really know.
Not judging. I'm sex positive regarding the dead fly in Jurassic Park.
I'm Jeff Goldblum. Just look at me. Of course I'm sex positive. Mm-hmm. Why do you think my shirt's always open?
Right. Yes. Just like Paul Christ. I believe that leads us, referring to coaches not wearing shirts, that leads us to North Carolina.
Yes. Do either of you know the Atlantic Coast Conference coaches with a longer tenure than Lawrence Fedora at this point?
Paul Johnson, Dabo Swinney.
Correct. There's one more, but only one.
Steve Adazio?
David Cutcliffe.
Oh, right.
You fool.
Was on the tip of my tongue.
What an odd predicament we found ourselves with North Carolina. A good string of success for many years in the Fedora era. And then last year, many things to be regretted. Only one conference win. Several stumbles, several pratfalls, physical comedy, not my greatest gift, but I do respect it in others, and therefore I'm willing to give North Carolina the benefit of the doubt. The importance of acting is being willing to try new things, like football.
Naming a single player on North Carolina's roster is exceptionally hard for me.
James Bly.
James Michael McAdoo, he's still there?
Julius Peppers.
I cannot.
Is Rashad McCants still there?
Lawrence Taylor.
Did the Bears quarterback decide to return?
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
The artist formerly known as Mitch.
I assume that he had his tour of the National Football League and said, great fun. My break year, my gap year is done. I'll be returning.
I think it's on the table. I think it's
the player who launched a 7-year NCAA investigation by quoting a Rick Ross lyric. Maybe Marvin Austin. That's real. We never lie on this podcast. That happened.
North Carolina. Gosh, just a fascinating piece of work. I don't see how they can beat Pitt because the fedora is just so dated. The beach muscles, extremely dated as well. They're of a certain time. They have a certain value. 90s retro is a thing. Look at my career, after all. But it's difficult to see how UNC can rise above that which is the Pit and brings all down. It feels like an improvement, but not a meaningful one for the Tar Heels. Yes.
Yeah. Folks, I really didn't know he was going to keep this going this far, and we'll see how long he keeps it going into the future.
I'd like to point one thing out about North Carolina, if I may, Dr. Jeff.
Please. I apparently am the host of the podcast. Again, thank you for having me as a guest. I'm sorry Ryan couldn't be here. Put Pitt in. That's the yes. Go ahead, Alex.
Prior to 2016, the NCAA instituted a policy that said coaches could be ejected from games if they acted in an untoward manner. Mm-hmm. And we drafted who we thought would be the first coaches to be taken. Could you guess who the sixth pick was?
Who made the selection?
I did.
Give me a little bit of it. Oh, it was,
I made the sixth.
Interesting. Pick. Well, we're talking about North Carolina, so I'm going to say that you picked Larry Fedora.
I did, and I'm confident that if North Carolina gets off to a rough start this season, and they play Pitt, I believe in week 4.
That's correct.
If North Carolina starts its season in an unpleasant manner, such as by losing, I don't know, 2 of 3 to the likes of Cal on the road and UCF at home, and perhaps East Carolina. I don't know. That shouldn't be much of a game. Anyway, I'm just saying, if Pitt were to get up in that game and Larry Fedora were to be on the verge of falling to 1-3, I think that he would be a solid candidate for the first ejection.
How do you explain all of last year, though, when North Carolina finished, I believe it was 3-9? Is that correct?
I have no answer to that. I don't know how he didn't. I felt that either Butch Jones or he, Butch Jones was the second pick in our draft by Bill. I had felt that last year it would be certain.
I mean, if we're being technical about it, in many ways, Butch Jones was ejected.
That's true. Bill won. Congratulations to Bill. I was also just going to say that UNC, it's funny to be speaking of UNC because this feels like the only ACC Coastal team I have a good handle on. And that's because I have read Bill Connolly's preview of UNC. So let me tell you, folks, here, I got the inside dirt. You ready? UNC will be improved this year. Not all that much, but they won't be bad anymore. Wrecked by injuries, wrecked by youth. There'll be a much more quality win for our Panthers this time around. That was actual depth. You haters who said this podcast network doesn't provide actual football content. There you go. Hope you enjoyed it. It's over now.
Yes. I love it. To swing the pendulum in the opposite direction, let's talk about Virginia. Bronco Mendenhall. You know, I hear the name Bronco and
real
heart,
quick, Alex, can you say Bronco Mendenhall, please?
Bronco Mendenhall.
So I hear that, and I'm reminded of the horses of Andalusia. Have either of you been fortunate enough to see these horses up close in their natural environment?
No, coach.
No.
It's interesting because they are, of course, graceful, majestic, natural runners. And you would think a team with the coach of this name would be the same, but instead we're talking about a Virginia team that ranked 127th in rushing yards per attempt last year. That's worse than the Jayhawks of Kansas or the Illini of Illinois or the bankrupt Pirates of East Carolina. In fact, in their rivalry, am I getting that right?
Perfect.
Rivalry?
Perfect.
Rivalry game against Virginia Tech.
Rivalry.
Yes, I'm sorry. Alex, can you help me?
It's a rivalry. It's a rivalry. It's a rivalry game.
Wow. Rivalry? Rivalry.
Rivalry. Like the backyard brawl, but it's a rivalry. It's a rivalry.
13-9 in that rivalry.
In their rivalry game against Virginia Tech, they attempted to run the ball 20 times. Do either of you know how many yards they collected?
20.
13-9.
5. The answer is 5. 5 yards. In their last 3 games of the season, Virginia ran the ball 66 times, accumulated 90 yards, a paltry 1.36 yards per carry. No. Virginia, no.
Virginia, of course, the team whose coach is out here saying, we have like 4 good players, dropping all sorts of real talk about the state of the roster. That's real confidence inspiring. You made a bowl last year. You probably don't want us to talk about what happened in that bowl. But, I mean, things seem to be looking up.
The most dominant performance by the U.S. Navy since the Battle of the Midway, perhaps? Baltimore Harbor?
Yeah, it's up there. Yeah.
Not opponent adjusted, of course.
No. that was the Navy's FCS opponent, so to speak.
What would it take in your mind for the Hoos to win the Coastal this year?
Well, they'd have to build on what their coach says is a current collection of 27 ACC caliber players.
Mm-hmm. Lean, if easy to transport, cuts down on costs. Brilliant.
You only need 22, right? And a kicker.
And a punter, perhaps.
If you really...
No, never punt.
You need a long snapper.
I mean, if you're really being lean about it, you can work with 11.
Sure, old school.
So if he has 27, I mean, he's almost tripled his needs at this point.
I think 11 men is what they used back when Virginia was good, which was in years such as 1990. And moving on to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, another team that is down to about 11 players after half its defense has been suspended so far this offseason, if I recall correctly.
Sent out into the world to spread the gospel of Hokiedom. I don't know what that gospel says. I suspect that it maybe involves chewing tobacco and...
clear alcohol.
Correct.
Respecting the military. Building like
wearing camouflage in church,
like building really good deer stands, not using store-bought deer stands, but like engineering your own deer stand,
bringing your deer stand to church,
respecting minors
in church.
Yes,
not shooting baby deer, respecting minors. Clear alcohol, brown alcohol.
Yes, the brownest of liqueurs.
Certain kinds of clear alcohol, mind you, not Zima. That's for the folks down the road in Charlottesville.
You will ice some other bro, I believe. Thank you very much. This schedule, Virginia Tech. Whew, quite a doozy. Quite a murderer's row you've set up. Opening with a game against Florida State. You have Notre Dame on the schedule as well. Other than that, it's coastal teams, so it's not as bad.
Best division in football, actually.
Best division that we're best division that Pitt's in. Okay. The division that gave us Pitt from humble beginnings. Come wonderful things. Am I incorrect in saying that the fates of Virginia Tech turn on Josh Jackson? Yes. Hmm? Is this a name that does things for either of you?
Yes, probably. I feel like we have too many Josh Jacksons currently active and relevant in sports, but this Josh Jackson could perhaps be the best Josh Jackson.
The Spartacus of the sport, you're saying?
Yes, I mean we've got so many Josh Jacksons at the moment that are.
I am Josh Jackson. I am Josh Jackson. I am Josh Jackson. I am Josh Jackson.
An incredible performance just now by Jeff Goldblum pretending to play seven characters. Best acting I've seen since The Parent Trap earlier this evening when Lindsay Lohan played two characters who traded characters.
Dear friend Lindsay. Yes. Cocaine.
She played four characters.
She's got the
two of them had English accents. One of them is an American accent pretending to be an English accent.
Layers. Like a trifle, yes? Like a multi-layered trifle with the soggy cake and the fruit that's not very good. Yes, Josh Jackson, you are layered in the same way. Some good games, some impressive performances, but towards the end of the year, your last four regular season games, two touchdowns, four interceptions, topped out at 218 passing yards, went 2-2, and your only wins were against the lowly UVA and, of course, the fulcrum of the college football universe, Pitt. Fate dealt you a kind hand that day, though you did little to play it effectively.
That was a tough, tough one. That was a tough one for old Pitt, that game.
They all are. I mean,
that's the brand.
That's the brand. It's all about hard work and honor and family and perhaps some sort of mild flesh eating disease that is mostly cured, but they're not entirely sure. These are all Pitt things. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You are not wrong
at
all.
Thank you. Let's try one more Pitt phrase. How about my cousin Taylor had Ebola last summer?
My cousin Taylor had Ebola last summer. But she was cured. She was cured.
By what?
UPMC, the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, one of the finest institutions of medicine in the Western Hemisphere.
Smear some ketchup on it.
And some French fries. For your uh-huh. information, yes.
For your fortitude. I think the last team to preview in the division is the one that most gets to the nature of the question: what does it mean to say "put Pitt in"? Okay,
yes.
I of course am referring to the Miami Hurricanes, who won the division, but not before they lost to the Pittsburgh Panthers. Alex, you were there that day, correct?
I was.
How many other people were in the stadium with you?
Well, I think that there were about 68,000, but about 45,000 were dressed as yellow or blue seats.
Hell yeah. Team colors.
Now, if you could, this is a difficult question. I don't expect you to be a some sort of fashion expert. But what percentage of the denim pants there, the blue jeans, would you say cost less than $30 American?
78%, only because the Kirkland, just by the airport, I know that their price points are quite reasonable. So I would think that it was the majority, certainly.
The super major. I mean, if these genes could vote in Congress, we might. Well, I promise I wouldn't get political on this show, and I shan't. But yes, Jason, remind me, what was Miami ranked when they suffered this horrible loss?
Oh, I'm going to guess like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7. I'm going to guess 7.
It's an excellent guess. Alex, can you reveal the correct answer?
Number 2.
No.
Miami was ranked number 2.
The number of the turd.
Yes.
Unfortunate. This was also not just an upset victory, which of course our beloved Pitt, Put Pitt In, is known for at this juncture. It was a bit of a coming out party, was it not?
It was for young Kenny Pickett.
Heir to the Chris Blewett throne, wherein you have unusual or poorly applied surname, which suggests that you may perform poorly at your given assignment. But of course, Chris Blewett, best known for kicking the game winner against number 2.
Clemson.
So clearly you can see, I think Pitt is merely a Sean Fumblet and a Daniel personal foul in the fourth quarter that's hyphenated away from a national championship. Yes.
I would argue that transitively they've won 3-ish in the last several years. 3-ish transitive championships since 2007.
And that's math. And in the conference with Duke, we have to respect math, don't we?
I'd say that we do.
In a conference with Georgia Tech, we're certainly respecting math. Miami, math is used in drug deals, I believe. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. We have to respect math, and therefore, Pitt not only should be put in as the imperative, but put Pitt In already suggests the state of being, the place where we are. We're already, Pitt is in us, and it cannot be removed no matter how much radiation they pour into our bodies.
Is that a comment on Neville Island, Ryan? Jeff? Dr. Jeff?
Yes, of course, as...
Neville Island.
As a beloved Pittsburgh son, of course, these local references are just part of my the natural way I talk. And
yes, I can picture the location right now in my mind's eye.
Yes.
I yearn to be taken back to Neville Island.
I am driving to it in an American vehicle. I'm drinking a beverage of the sort that humans in Pittsburgh drink.
How do you say Yingling?
Yingling.
Just Yingling? So like that's already
a Pennsylvania beer. I'm not from Pennsylvania.
Pre-Pitt. What? So Yingling ain't cool in Pitt.
Yingling is like a central Pennsylvanian brew.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which, what? I mean, that's fine.
You're looking for an Iron City, perhaps?
An Iron City. Iron City Light. An Iron City Light. Let me tell you this. I would never buy a case of Iron City, but I'll pay $11.50 for an Iron City at a Pirates game at PNC Park if it comes in a yellow can.
Uh-huh. It's learning so much. Learning so much, folks. This is how you knock off number 2 Miami 10 years after knocking off number 2 West Virginia.
Miami, I will say this in favor of Miami. Again, they face Pitt at the end of the year. Very exciting for them. Chance for revenge, etc., etc. But they will be battle tested at this point. They will have played LSU. They will have played Florida State. They will have played in succession at Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech before hosting your fine Pittsburgh Panthers. You can see the beginnings of a streak. You can see the beginnings of a streak of dominance. Are we comfortable using the word Pitt dominance, Pitt ownership of Miami?
The epitome, if you were.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's good. I like this. I like this man. I want to cast him in my next project. It's a Wes Anderson movie about a man who collects broken teacups and throws them at orphans. Miami, I think, probably due for maybe some slight regression this year. Is that unfair to say?
I don't think it's unfair. I'm a little confused about Miami because they have a quarterback last year who in his first year as a starter goes like whatever in two, like however many games they wind up winning. I think they had a hurricane game, so he probably went like 10-2 or something like that. But all their fans want to bench him already. And they have Nikosi Perry, who's a quite good, I think, redshirt freshman, unless he briefly stepped onto the field last year. So it's not clear who their quarterback is, but he's probably good.
They also have maybe America's most alliterative backfield backups, at least, in DJ Dallas and Lorenzo Lingard. Can you give me a DJ Dallas in your best Yinzer accent, please?
DJ Dallas?
Deejer!
not an R to be found in the word, but you, alchemy-like, summoned it.
But wonderful. This Lorenzo Lingard, watch out for him. Are we allowed to give? No, I don't want to give. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here. But
no. But, we need to praise up our opponents as much as possible because our entire brand is based on taking down overrated teams.
This is Lorenzo Lingard. Is he a guy who's going to be held to 20 yards on 17 carries in a loss to Pitt on the Saturday after Thanksgiving? Yes, but other than that. He's one of the most talented running backs of at least the last 3 or 4 years to come into college football. I think he's really going to put up numbers.
A worthy opponent. Shall we talk about Pitt's schedule this year?
It's time. So I've prepared a quick run through the schedule, and I think things set up very well, very Pitt for us this year. And for anyone who's just now joining us, you'll see what I mean. So there are 6 steps to a truly successful Pitt season. The first is you need coaching turmoil. Pitt's athletic department functions at its best when all the coaches are temps, when no one knows exactly who will be coaching the team in 2 weeks, when everything is completely up in the air. Muscle confusion is what we're all about. So since March, Pitt has hired new coaches in men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, and soon-to-be softball. Don't even have one of those yet. Things are perfectly up in the air. We're off to an awesome start. Next, we need an overly ambitious schedule. This one includes 3 really hard non-conference games on top of an AC schedule that includes at Miami, which will be a slightly tougher win for us than the one that we achieved last year versus Miami. We did that. We beat Miami last year. Next, you need 0 expectations whatsoever. And might I point out that, according to Vegas, we have the lowest win total over-under in the whole ACC. We're essentially picked to finish last in the ACC. Perfect. This is absolutely perfect. We're like a coiled cobra of French fries right now. Next. This is the most crucial element, and Alex has, I believe, prepared a short speech drawing from the most landmark film to be filmed in our fair town on this next one. The schedule needs to be loaded up with lots of big, fattened up capicola slabs just waiting to be slathered in ketchup and just chomped on with our faces while we roll around with 1-3 taking down these top 10 teams. Alex, do you have something to read for us?
Oh, I do. So it's important to win these games at home, where I learned the truth about despair, as we yins. There's a reason why this prison is the worst hell on earth. Hope. Every man who has ventured here over the centuries has looked up to the light and imagined climbing to freedom. So easy and simple in that. And like them shipwrecked buckos over there at PNC Park turning to seawater from an uncontrollable thirst, many have died trying. I learned here that there can be no true despair without hope. So as I terrorize Gotham and not downtown, I'll feed its people hoping I poison their souls. I'll let them believe they can survive so Yins can watch them clamoring over each other to stay in the sun. Yins can watch me torture an entire downtown, and when Yins have truly understood the depth of your failure, we'll fulfill Ragu's destiny. We'll destroy Gotham, and then when it's all done and that downtown Gotham's just ashes, then Yins got my permission to die.
Oh my God, I'm just filled with so much joy right now at the thought of what's going to happen to Penn State when they roll in here at 1-0 in the top 10, dreaming of the playoff, and we kick their sorry asses out of here with their first of their two annually disqualifying losses, 2016, 42-39. You lose two games every year, you pieces of shit.
I'm late for Tai Chi. I have to depart. Thank you both for having me. Put Pit in. Go see whatever film I don't know what films I'm in these days. Just go see the films. Look at me. I'm talking to you. Yes, yes, yes. I love you. Mwah.
Thanks, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you, Dr. Jeff.
Also, UCF. They'll probably be 4-0 when we face them.
Yep, that's a tough one.
Well, here's the thing. 4-0, they'll have beaten an ACC team. We're an ACC team. They'll have beaten 2017's other noisiest mid-major. All right, so flying pretty high. And that's exactly when we strike. That's when we always strike.
Hey, y'all. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Which one are we doing now?
We're talking about Pitt versus Notre Dame.
No, I'm good. You can do it without. I'm good. Can do this one. Yeah, cool. Thanks. Yeah, again, sorry I couldn't be here. You guys, it was fine, though?
Yeah, we're done. We're going to send you the audio in like
cool.
in like 1 minute.
Cool. Pitt beats Notre Dame, probably. I don't know. Who cares?
Cool. Next, Virginia Tech. They'll have like 4 players left. That's another upset win. We're up to 4 big upset wins in the Miami. What are they going to do? Win the ACC Coastal and lose the Orange Bowl? We'll beat them again. That's 5 big upset wins. And then we lose everything else. 5-7. 5-7 also receiving votes. That's it. That's the perfect Pitt season.
It would be. It would be. But I would argue that if Pitt could sneak into perhaps a pinstripe bowl, a pinstripe bowl or perhaps a – one of the other illustrious bowls, which the ACC has ties into.
The Birmingham Bowl, sir. Yeah, Birmingham.
Bowl games that I certainly remember off the top of my head. then I could see.
Any number of baseball-affiliated bowls.
Birmingham or bust. Give me Birmingham or give me death.
Maybe there's some sort of Diamondbacks bowl.
Give me Birmingham and give me death. Let me take me to Birmingham and kill me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Murder me in Birmingham.
Is that that's a novel, like a Harper Lee novel, I think.
What if Pitt goes to the Sun Bowl?
They already did that.
Greatest bowl game in history, might I add.
No, that's the Insight.com bowl, Larry Fitzgerald.